turn to Psalms 78, please. Just read from 1 to 7. Psalmist says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the generation which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep the commandments. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for all you've did on last weekend, dear Lord God. It was such a tremendous blessing to us, and I'm sure to others. But we know, dear Lord God, that you can drop in here again this morning. Pray that you'll bless our pastor as he brings the message you put on his heart. Bless the people, dear Lord, as they come. And just be with us as we just try to sing, dear Lord God, and as the ladies play, we just thank you for an opportunity where we can stand before your name, your wonderful place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, Lord.
likely to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Greatly to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. My God. Fill this house. Oh, Jesus, you are welcome. Let your glory fill this house. Oh, let your glory fill this house. Glory fill this house. Oh, Jesus, you are welcome. Let your glory fill this house. Let your love fill this house. The love fill this house. Oh, Jesus, you are welcome. Let your love fill this house. Oh, come in the house. Please come in the house. Oh, Jesus, you are welcome. Just come in the house. Let your presence fill this house. Presence fill this house. Jesus, you are welcome. Let your presence fill this house. Let your power fill this house. Ooh, power fill this house. Oh, Jesus, you are welcome. Let your power fill this house. Let your glory fill this house. Oh, let your glory fill this house. Oh, Jesus, you are welcome. Let your glory fill this house. Let your love fill this house. Oh, love fill the house. Jesus, you are welcome. Let your love fill this house. Oh, come in the house. Please come in the house. Oh, Jesus, you are welcome. Just come in the house. Let your presence fill the house. Oh, presence fill the house. Oh, Jesus, you are welcome. Let your presence fill the house. Oh, come in the house. Please come in the house. Jesus, you are welcome. Come in the house. Amen, amen. Come to meet with him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. Away, oh, only you take my breath away. Yes, but you take my breath. Take my breath away, only you. Oh, take my breath away, nobody else but you. Take my breath away, and you breathe new life into me. So breathe into me. Ooh. Lord, breathe into me. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, breathe into me. Again, oh, once again, oh, and again, and again, oh, once again, oh, and again, and again, once again. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus. Amen. My God. Maybe seated. Some specials this morning. Sister Sarah. Amen. My God. Thank you. Thank you, sister. My God. Beautiful. Don't carry everything to God with prayer. My Jesus.
Amen.
Sister Brown. All right, Sister Shonda. Thank you.
you're in, church. Now, I don't want to. I didn't come to sit and watch nobody. I didn't come to look at those who came. It's not important to me what folks are wearing. I came to intervene and not just raise it. Let's enter in and praise his name. Let's enter in and praise his name. Let's enter in and praise his name. But the only way we get our body to, I don't want to miss what God is way.
enter in. Praise his name. My God, my God. Thank you. Next we have Sister Tina.
God bless you.
As I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony. As I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony. Well, sometimes I couldn't see my way through, but God, he brought me out. Well, right now I'm free. I've got the victory. I've got a testimony. Yes, as I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been from a long way. He brought me from a long way. He healed your body. He healed your body. He gave you strength, yeah. He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. He gave you eyes to see. He gave you hands to clap. He gave you feet to show. He gave you breath to breathe. He gave you breath to breathe. He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. He started you on your way. He started you on your way. You didn't have to do it. No, you didn't have to do it. No, you didn't have to do it. Yes, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony.
Thank you, Sister Tina. We all can say that we have a testimony. There's so many things that he's done and is doing for us. My God. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Tina. My God. Let's get ready for the offering this morning. The man in the combo will sing this little song. Give me Jesus in the morning when I rise. Oh, in the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. Give me Jesus. Let's just have a little prayer. Blessed Heavenly Father, you woke us up this morning and brought us into your presence. We thank you for all that you do in our lives, dear Lord God. Bless the people, dear Jesus, as they give this morning, knowing that your return is 100%. We just ask now, dear Lord, you bless this little offering in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the morning when I rise, oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Oh, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, oh, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Oh, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I, oh, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can
have all this world, but give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. One more time. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's turn around and greet your neighbor. Say, so good to see you today. So good to see you. Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We have a prayer request that we want to acknowledge. Sister Brown is saying, please pray for my daughter-in-law's grandmother. She has 50% leakage in her heart valves. The doctors want to do a third surgery, but we believe God to intervene. And we want to just take this request before the Lord. God is good. Amen. God is a miracle-working God. Nothing too hard for him. Before we just take this before God's throne, I tell you what, we'll pray and I'll let you be seated and I'll share something with you. Father, we're so grateful that we can come to you, that we can bring every request of our heart into your presence. And knowing, God, that as we bring these requests, there's nothing too hard for you, Jesus. This situation may seem impossible for doctors. They just don't know which way to turn, what to do. And God, we just ask that you would intervene. You're the one that made the body. You're the one that designed it. And God, you know all the inner workings of it. So we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would get involved in this situation, that you would just you would intervene on behalf of this lady, Lord. She needs a touch from you, God. And we ask, oh God, that you would just bring a miracle out of this, and you work a miracle, and that you, God, would bring glory and honor to yourself, showing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, we commit her now into your hands, and we trust, Lord Jesus, that you would do something mighty. And God, also the request we have in our heart for this young man that has cancer in the bones, and Lord, just around 30 years old, what a tremendous trial for him to be going through. A man that desires to raise his family, raise his son, Lord. He doesn't want to die. And typically when cancer is in the body, everybody thinks about death. But we serve a God that cancer is not too impossible. Cancer is not beyond reach. Cancer is nothing but a toothache to the God that we serve. So God, we believe, Lord, and we declare that nothing is impossible for you. Father, we claim healing for these situations and circumstances, people that you've placed in our lives that all we can do is pray for them and commit their condition into the hands of Almighty God. We pray that you would look upon each one and that you bring glory to yourself. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's praise the Lord for it already being done. Hallelujah. You know, this week I was just kind of going through and just thinking on the goodness of the Lord. And as I was just thinking, this song just began to come to my spirit. and all I could, they were singing it at our staff meeting this week, and it just stayed with me just throughout the week. And I just wanted to declare this morning, amen, through the words of this song, that nothing is impossible for our God. Nothing. I don't care what it is, church. And sometimes, amen, you don't know what, I don't know what you may be going through, but God knows. And amen, you need to declare out of your own mouth that nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. I don't care about how much you have to pay in that bill. I don't care about what's going on in your body. Amen. Nothing is impossible for the God that you serve. Come on, we worship an almighty God. Hallelujah. A wonderful counselor. A mighty God. A prince of peace. A healer. A redeemer. A savior. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. These words just simply say this. Say, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Say, nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. Come on, say, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Say, nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. Come on, say, nothing is impossible. Oh, nothing is impossible. Say, nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. Say, nothing is, oh, nothing is impossible. Say, nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. Hallelujah. Hey. And I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Come on, tell them what you believe this morning. Oh, and I believe you're my healer. Say, I believe you are all I need. Yes, you are, Jesus. Oh, and I believe you're my portion. Yes, I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Come on, declare it this morning. I believe. Say, I believe you're my healer. Say, you are all I need. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you are, Jesus. Oh, and I believe you're my portion. I believe more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Oh, say, I believe you. Say, I believe all I need. Yes, you are, Jesus. I believe, I believe, I believe that you, I believe, you're more than enough
from me. Jesus, you're all I need. Come on, give him praise. Come on, declare it. Lord, I believe your words. Nothing is impossible for you, God. No case too difficult. No situation too hard. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Say, nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hand. Oh, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is. You hold my world. Come on, sing it again. Say, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Sing, nothing is impossible for you, Jesus. You hold my. Come on, one more time. Say, nothing is. Nothing is impossible. Oh, nothing is. You hold my world. You hold my world. Come on, worship him, worship him, worship him. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, turn around and tell somebody it's not impossible. Come on, tell them it's not impossible. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. All things are possible. We just believe. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, sometimes when you're going through the week, you're going through all kind of difficulties. It's good to have a song like that in your spirit. Nothing is impossible. No matter how big that mountain that you're facing. And I remember one songwriter say, Lord, don't move my mountain, but give me strength to climb it. Amen. And sometimes that's all we need, just a little strength just to keep reaching and keep climbing. God will get us on top of that mountain. Oh, blessed be his holy name. Amen. I just wanted to just share a couple things with you before we went into the Word of God today. I was listening to testimony here, Brother Donnie. His father called me this morning and said, have Brother Donnie give a testimony because he got something that he needed to say and it'll bless the church. So when he came, I stopped him and grabbed him. I said, Brother Donnie, your daddy said you're supposed to give a testimony. He said, I just feel so uncomfortable standing in front of God's people. So he began to share the testimony with me. And I said, well, brother, I'll share it, you know. But Brother Donnie, recently the Lord has blessed him. And he moved to a different job and everything. And we thank God for that, just blessing him with some more work. Something that he was in prayer for and just needed God just to open up some more hours for him and everything, and God did that. And he got a route that he began to take, and it's, you know, taking him, it's a pretty strenuous route there as he delivers, amen. But happened to be on this route and not knowing the CEO, I think, of the company began to, he got a condo or something in the area where Brother Donnie delivers. And the CEO said, you know, I'm just going to one of these stores and see how things are going, you know, in the store. And he went and said, you know, whoever the guy that comes to the store, he got things so in order. It just looks so good. I said, man, this is, you know, this guy doing a really good job. He said, I tell you what, I'm going to go to some of the other stores on the same route and see what they look like. And when he went, say, just every store was just perfect.
And I began to talk to the managers, you know, of the stores. And they said, yeah, that guy that come to deliver here, he's a really good guy. We're really pleased with him. And so, you know, that's awesome. Really, really good testimony. So we, you know, got back in touch with Brother Donnie's boss. And they began to kind of talk. He said, you know, I went around and I got great results. I mean, everybody's saying positive things about this young man. And they began to say, oh, yeah, he's a Christian. And, you know, he serves the Lord. And we've had we're getting a lot of positive things. We're so happy to have him in the company. Say, well, you know, I want to do something special for him. So they called Brother Donnie into the office. And they said, how do you think your route going? He says, well, I think it's going fine. He said, that's good. You know, that's right. It is going good. He said, our CEO of the company happened to go and check on some of the stores that you are working in, and he was very pleased with what you're doing there in your route. And the CEO asked, how many people you have in your family? And he said, well, I got this many in my family. He said, okay, well, the CEO said he want to pay for y'all to go on vacation.
Glory to God.
Amen. Sometimes you're doing things and you don't know why you're doing it. And it seemed like they gave him the hardest route. And, I mean, keep Brother Donnie out very late. You know, he had to get up early in the morning, and it's a long day for him. But God was watching over him. And I blessed the whole family just goes on a vacation. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Brother Donnie, when you and Sister Laura might go and take the kids, eat a big steak, amen, on the CEO. Y'all deserve it. Make sure Sister Laura might get her favorite. Whatever her favorite is, make sure she get that. Amen. But we really thank God. We really thank God for that. Just a wonderful, wonderful blessing. God is moving, church. Amen. God is moving. I was telling the church this morning, just recently, one of the saints come to me and told me about something that they had put on a little card and nailed to the cross. And they said they gave me the testimony behind how God had answered the request. And it's been something that's been actually probably on the cross for about 2 years. It seemed impossible for it to happen. Amen. But God answered the request. And, you know, just a portion of it, I'll tell you. Amen. Precious Sister Marvia, she had a desire in her heart to be able to go back and forth to Jamaica to visit her children, and you know, and also be able to come, amen, back and forth with no problems. And God made a way for her this week, amen, that she can do that with no trouble. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. And, you know, she was just sharing the testimony with us. And she said, I put it up there. And said, with your permission, I'd like to take it down. So that's exactly what we want you to do. So she came, amen, and she took her prayer request down. I say, now date it because God answered it. And I say, you know, I want to encourage the church. If you got a request up there, it's not just up there to be tacked up there. Amen. But as God answers your request, make sure you let us know so we can announce to show people that God is still moving. God answers prayer. Amen. Anybody believe that? God answers prayer. Thank you, Jesus. So, my God, I wanted to, before, you know, I forgot, I really needed to take some time. Amen. God bless y'all. I let y'all be seated. I thank y'all so much. Appreciate you all's faithfulness. Amen. Dedication to the service of the Lord. But I wanted to really, amen, take time to express my gratitude for all the saints, amen, for last weekend. Everybody contributed in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Each one of you, we really, really appreciate it. I believe we had more than enough food on Saturday and on Sunday. To take care of our guests, and we were just really, really blessed, you know, by that. some of the older sisters that stepped in and allowed the younger sisters to fellowship a little bit more. That was a real blessing. Thank you all for taking on that burden and sacrificing. Amen. You know, last week we had more people in this church than we've ever had here. We've had a choir to fire meetings in the past, but we never got the amount of support like we got this time around. And that's just people coming from out of town. It was every night service, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, pulling chairs from everywhere. Brother Wesco had some chairs in his trunk that he was ready to go get if we needed them. You know, but Friday night we had to take chairs and put them up on the platform because of, you know, all the people that were here. And then Saturday night we're thinking, okay, we start the service a little early. We're not going to get as many people. People still come in after the service is, you know, going and the minister speaking, people still pouring in. And I just want to thank all the brothers for, you know, everything they did to just kind of make all that happen. Brother Burrs and Brother Mike, Brother Wisdom, Brother Robert, you know, Brother Caleb, just all the Brother Mike and Brother David, you know, just different ones, just finding whatever they could do to do. And we appreciate that. And then Sunday night we was here and we thought we was all set. And Brother Mike was there at the door and he looked and he's like, oh no. I say, it's a bus out there. I said, bus. I say, hold on, just stop him at the door and let's just kind of, let's find out what we got. Then go inside the congregation and see what we can do. I think we had about 22 or 23 people on the bus coming, into the service. And you got to make room for people, you know. So everybody began to make room and we were able to get everybody in. And, man, what a time we had in this place. What a time, what a time, what a time. Glory. And, you know, I'm just watching all my young people. And I just appreciate my young people. I thank God for you all. Amen. I believe some acquired the fire. Is that right? Amen. Hallelujah. And I know on Friday night we had a service, but some of the young people, one of the sisters from Brother Wesco Church, I think right after the choir the fire was over, she's like, when the next youth service? And we're like, okay, I'm thinking in March. Well, that's not soon enough for them. They want one right away. All right, so I say, well, maybe, maybe we can get Brother Wesco to host. I say, I don't want to try to monopolize all the youth services, because sometimes that can create spirits. And we don't want to do that. So I said, let's get one of the churches to host. I called Brother Wesco up real quick, and he said, yeah, we'll do it. And before you know it, he had Brother Paul lined up to speak. And then he called me back and said, we want some testimonies from some of the young people. And they went over on Friday night, and they just testifying and just sharing their experiences and encouraging the young people not to let the fire go down. Amen. Whatever you have to do all you can to keep that fire burning. Right, and like I was saying in the meeting, say, if you had a fireplace at your house and you went out and you cut up some logs, and you take it and you got the logs burning and the fire is going, if you start to seeing that fire go down, you wouldn't wait to call me on the phone, Pastor, my logs on my fire going out. Could you come and do something for me? You wouldn't wait for me, right? You wouldn't wait. You'd be like, let me go down and chop up some more wood and put it on here, right? You do that yourself. You won't wait for nobody to come with no logs. You're going to go get you the one coal, so you're going to have to do something to get that fire going, right? And see, that's the same way it is spiritually. You can't wait to come to church on Sunday morning for me to say something. You got to be doing something through the week in order to keep your fire burning. You got to read the Word of God. You got to pray. Amen. Listen to different ministers. We put the services online, you can go back and relive that service. And I can tell you right now, you probably didn't catch everything that was being spoken the first time it was spoke. So it's good to go back and listen to it again, and that's how you keep your fire burning. And then when somebody else getting a little dry, you can throw a log on their fire. Remember they said this, remember they said that, remember this was said, and as you do those things, everybody keep burning. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't have just once a year choir the fire meetings. Every time we come together, we're acquiring the fire. Every time we come to church, we are acquiring more fire. See? And that's the way we don't want to wait for special services. Anytime I can get up out my bed, I got 10 reasons why you should give God praise. One, he woke you up this morning. Two, he woke you up this morning. Y'all remember Brother Andrew saying that? I ain't never heard that before, but that's all right. I like that. Amen. But you know, we have more than enough to give God praise for. And and we're looking for testimonies every weekend. We want God to continue to do what he has been doing. Amen. And we're just under expectation, church. So now we read this morning in prayer. Maybe we'll just read that again really quick here out of the book of Matthew, just so that you all understand what will happen now that the meetings are over. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. And young people can understand this, get a revelation of it. All the saints get a revelation of it, and we just try to do all we can to encourage one another to keep pressing on. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. All right? And what happened last week, there were many unclean spirits that left the people. All right? There's many of them. I mean, you can just start naming them. Vanity is an unclean spirit. Right? Lust is an unclean spirit. Pornography, an unclean spirit. Right, there are many things that were left here at this altar, right? You know, the way that we dress and conduct ourselves, unclean spirits make people do these things, right? So a lot of that was left here. You know, that boyfriend and girlfriend, unclean spirits behind those text messages, right? Amen. Don't get hooked up with nobody that don't believe what you believe, right? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't lower yourself so low that you just take anything the devil bring your way. You got to hold your standards up. Amen. And especially young ladies, you got to hold your standards up. Make that guy come up to what you're expecting, right? Because if you lower it now, if you compromise to get them, you're going to have to compromise to keep them. So don't compromise. Even young men, don't compromise to get that lady. Right? I mean, you don't know what you setting yourself up for later on in life. Amen. Trouble like you never saw before. Amen. And I thought you loved me. Yeah, I do love you. I'm going to put it upside your head, right? So, you know, you got to watch what you talk about headaches and, my God, why get into a relationship where you can't sleep at night? You got one eye open and one eye closed. What kind of relationship is that? Right? You don't know what they liable doing. And you thought they love you. The devil do anything to anybody. See, so don't get so caught up in that. Get more Jesus. Right? Get more Jesus, and then he'll send the right person along. All right? Amen. Hey, look, you got a whole life ahead of you. Why they put so much pressure on young people at 10, 9, 8 that you got to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Where did that come from? What rule? Who made up that rule? Huh? I mean, even at 17, 16, 18, 19, you ain't got to have, right? Not got to have. Who made that up? I mean, in the Bible, Isaac, the greatest love story ever told, and one of the greatest love stories ever told, is Isaac and Rebecca. And you know, Isaac was 40 years old when he got married. Yeah. Isaac was 40, right? Now, nowadays, they would have thought something was wrong with Isaac. But Isaac got himself a wonderful wife, right? He got a blessing on his hand when he got Rebecca. So I'm just saying, don't allow the devil to anoint you with that, right? When God is ready for you to have somebody, he's going to bring somebody into your life. You ain't got to worry about it, right? Yeah. Amen. I have many people really impressed with the sisters in our church. Many people, I've had many of them, you know, coming, even some people that came this weekend. Brother, if I knew a brother that was interested, I'd send them down to your church. That's good. That's good. We want them to come. Amen. We want them to come. And I'm a little, I'm afraid that when some of them come, I'm going to lose some sisters. Some of them praying to stay away. Unless you want to stay here, stay away. Now, you know, but we understand those things happen, right? And that's what, like, we raise them up so that God can, you know, use them in whatever way. But the thing of it is that what impresses people is the character, you know, of our sisters. And if you keep a strong character like that, God will bless you. Amen. God will bless you. I believe that. Amen. Man, nothing is impossible. Amen. Nothing is impossible. See, so I'm trusting God to, you know, to raise up the next generation. Amen. And I just believe it's going to be some weddings done. It's going to be some. Amen. That's the next phase. But I don't want to marry you to some devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on now. I'm just being honest. I want to see y'all have a successful life, and I know what it's going to take. There's enough pressure just by being a man and being a woman. Men think different than women think, right? There's enough pressure. I don't know why I'm talking this type of stuff today. But there's enough pressure just in that alone, right? I mean, you know, when me and my wife got married and I was speeding coming back home. I was speeding. We sitting there. I'm fussing at her for taking a wedding dress into the car. Why you got this big old wedding dress that you got in the backseat of the car? Leave it home. We don't need the wedding dress no more. That part is over with. She's like, no, I want to take my wedding dress. I can't understand that, right? What you taking the wedding dress for, right? And then she got the big old wedding dress in the backseat of the car. And I'm flying and got the windows down just flapping in the back, that big old wedding dress. She want to take her wedding dress. You know, that's just the way guys and girls are, right? You know, why you do something like that, right? Well, you know, we coming back, and I'm flying back down the highway, and boy, this policeman pulled me over. Now, I ain't got no money. I just got married, right? And that man pulled me over, and he say, sir, I caught you, clock you doing this. I say, Lord Jesus, he sure right. Here go my license and my registrations, and Lord, I can't believe this. Just got married and getting ready to get a ticket. It took forever back there in that car. I was like, just bring me my ticket, man. Just leave me alone. Just bring me the ticket. So he walks up real slow, and he says, well, I see y'all just got married. I'm like, huh? You know, discernment? See, this is the way a guy thinks. Then I say, the wedding dress. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We just got married. And he taught me a lesson that day that I'll never forget. He says, in marriages, the biggest problem that you'll ever have is money problems. He says, I don't want to add to your money problems, so I'm going to give you a warning rather than give you a ticket. I say, my God. Thank you so much. And you mean, then I can, dear, thank you for bringing the wedding dress. Thank you. Yeah. But see, and there's just simple things like that. In most marriages, money is going to be the key issue. And if you got people that don't believe the same way already, because, you know, when I think about extra money, like you know, now time of the year, everybody get their income tax back, and the husband thinking, I can do this with the car, and I can do this with the house, and I can do this, and I can do that. And the wife's saying, oh, I can do this for the kids, and I can do that. You know, we can get our hair done, and we can get, and the husband and the wife, they're not on the same page, right? And I'm going to tell you, that happens all through life, right? The wife just got certain things that's important. Look, if we don't, the husband's saying, if we don't get this car fixed, you're not going to make it to get your hair done. The wife's saying, well, we done made it this far without the car being fixed. Well, we can keep pressing on, but I need to get my hair done. Oh, I'm talking real good right now. And these things create issues in the house. But that's why you need people to be believers. And the husband, he has to be able to understand that. Because as a husband, he can crush his wife. We're going to get the car done no matter what you think. Right? And when he keep doing things that way, he crushes her spirit. He crushes her spirit. He has to find a way somehow to be able to get her needs met. Y'all know what word man, the acronym man, M-A-N, man, meet for M, A for all, N for needs, meet all needs. So man has to meet all needs. Emotional needs, physical needs, material needs. He has to meet all those needs. All right? See, so, you know, a husband has to be, you know, he has to be sensitive to that, but a wife also has to be sensitive to the husband to realize that she can't think about her hair all the time. Come on, right? She can't think about shopping all the time. Amen. Oh, when he get that extra money. Oh, I am. No. Not all the time. Sometimes like, honey, what you want to do with the money? Yeah, I got some things I was thinking about, but it's okay. Let's go do something special for you. You work so hard, and you be doing all, I just want something special for you. Oh, glory to God. Yes. Glory to God. I feel like the fire still being quiet. But this is important, church. But here, let's go back to Matthew 12. I didn't finish reading there. Verse 43 says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits." And what happened, many of the spirits left last week. But those spirits feel like they were inhabiting your body, and they feel like they can come back to your body whenever they want to. That's the way the devil feels. But you got to tell that devil, no. No. I mean, like what Brother Andrew said, tell hell, I'm not coming. I'm not coming. Yeah. And I'm not going to let no spirit take me to hell either, right? So he said, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last estate of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So what we need to be preparing ourselves for is that Satan will certainly try to come back, but we got to have something there inside of our houses, our personal houses, so that Satan will not feel too comfortable trying to come back. When they get back and see it's not just empty and swept, but this is a place where Jesus now resides. It'll be good for him to knock on the door and Jesus open up. And I'm sorry, I got the wrong house. That's what you want the devil to do. I got the wrong house. I'm sorry. See, that's the way it's got to be. And have you ever picked up the telephone? Somebody called. Oh, I'm sorry, I dialed the wrong number. That's the way you want the devil to fit. No, you sure enough did dial the wrong number. You sure enough did send a text to the wrong person, right? I had somebody just recently send me a text, and I'm like, they said something about how are you? I'm doing fine. How you? Praise God or something. You know, I use something, and like. Then they say, "Who is this?" I say, "This is Brother Jack Duff." And then they say, "I say, who is this?" They say something like Puffy D or something, you know, some old crazy name, right? So I'm like, "Well, you sent me a text, asked me how I was doing, so I was just responding. I sent you what text? You said this, so I said, God bless you, right? So I'm just trying to engage them now because I got them, right? They stopped texting after a while. But I got, God bless you. You didn't send no text to me by mistake. Amen. You got to get people right where they at. You know, you never know. Well, last night, we coming home from Daytona and got some gas, and this guy jumped out the car, and he's like, you know, hey, you from this area? I said, no, I'm not from this area. He's like, I said, why? What you looking for? Well, I'm looking for what do you call it? Casino, so maybe a casino in this area. So I say, oh, you can't find nobody to help you find. I said, maybe that's a sign from God. Maybe that's a sign from God. God don't want you to go there tonight. Before you know it, he jumped in his car. Okay, I'll see y'all later. And as I was pulling out, he was trying to pull back in. So, but you know, you got to put people in there, make them think. He might have been a backslider. I don't know, but make them think. Maybe God don't want you to do that tonight. Right? Put a warning in there. Put something, like Brother Trevor says, something to make it have to step over the top of it. Amen. Praise God, church. But let's be careful. We know Satan's coming, amen, but we're going to be stronger now than ever before, and we're going to keep this fire burning out of control. Amen. So God bless you. You know, since we kind of, I want to thank God for all the specials that went forth this morning. I just kind of slowly but surely changed, amen, the atmosphere just a little bit. And that's because I wanted to go back into some scriptures that I did not get a chance to share with you all the last time when we were talking on the loss of innocence. And, you know, I want to kind of go back and just kind of hit a few things, if you all would just bear with me this morning. And I tell you what, we'll stand and just have a word of prayer over the word of God for today, and then we'll go from there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God, my God. Turn with me to Genesis 3, and thank you, Lord. And I'll just read one verse here out of Genesis 3, verse 7, and we'll say a word of prayer. Now let you be seated. It says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Amen. Let's just stop there, and I'll just have a word of prayer, and I'll let you be seated. God, we're grateful that we have the opportunity to read the word, but God, we pray that you just continue to bless us and help us in our understanding of what it is that we're reading. And we trust, God, that you would just get all the glory and all the honor from our service today. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We got to announce that this afternoon we're going back to Pinnacle Palms. The doors have been open for us to go back in, and, amen, and have services there. And so we're looking forward to that this afternoon. And thank God for Brother and Sister Robles making it back home safely from their trip. Thank God for watching over them. Amen. But here, you know, we started talking the last time I spoke on this loss of innocence. And I wanted to just kind of pick up there a little bit. Just as a background, as we read here in Genesis 3, the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. If you were to read a couple verses before you start there in the first verse, you'll see that there was a serpent, and the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. All right, so with the Bible telling us that the serpent was a beast, it was not on its belly at this time. The way that we see it today, amen, this was an animal that walked on upright. It was walked on 2 feet. That was just like a man. And actually, the thing of it is that this animal was so close to a man that it could get with mankind and have a child from mankind, which is what happened in the garden, all right? Or also, you know, just with its own kind, it could have a child. It could reproduce itself like that. But what happens is that this animal got connected with Eve. Now, it wasn't an animal by himself like we tried to bring out to you. This was a continual conversation. Adam and Eve could talk with the animals in the garden, have fellowship with them, like anything. It was a perfect condition. And, you know, and so here this animal had the ability to reason. It had the ability to just sit there and have a conversation very close to a man, but didn't have a soul, but almost had a soul. All right. So Satan anointed this animal, knowing that that was the only animal that he could use to get his plan started here in the earth. And so Satan used the serpent, and we'll find later on that, you know, after he used the serpent, that the serpent was cursed and put on its belly. And the whole form or the whole design of this animal has completely changed. And that's why mankind cannot find the missing link between humankind and between animal. They get to the chimpanzee and they say, well, he stands like a man. He kind of walked like a man.
But it's still something missing. We just can't get it. And it's the serpent that's been cursed and put on his belly. Now, it's all sitting right there in the scripture if we would just take it for what it is. Now, here's the thing that, you know, as we just kind of go through, let me just drop a couple things off. This quote I want to read here is coming out of Marriage and Divorce. I want you to try to, I want to just get a few things into you. This scripture, the prophet says this scripture, this question confronted Jesus at the very beginning. We talk about marriage, all right? Confronted Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry, and it confronted Moses at the very beginning of his ministry. It's a foremost question in believers' hearts. The sinner doesn't care. But it's to believers because the believer is trying to do all that he knows how to do to live right before God. Therefore, in any question comes up on religion, then the marriage and divorce case comes up. Why? Because it is the cause of the original sin. That's where sin started. That's the reason it's brought up every time, because it is the very beginning of sin. He says, now, I won't have time to explain all these things, but I'll be glad to answer your letter or anything I can. Or we got the books wrote on it, and many questions, and even cuttings out of newspapers and things here to prove this. We know that it was Eve, the apple that she was supposed to eat, where it's not even scripture. So now, and what he's saying there, nobody can show you in the Bible where it says that they ate an apple. See, now we've accepted that, but that's nowhere in the Bible. You can't, it's no fruit that they ate that caused them to realize that they were naked. All right, now let me stay with this. Look, he says, the apple that she was supposed to eat, where it's not even scriptural, now they claim it was an apricot. It was neither one. Now this is the thing. She committed adultery. That brought forth the first child, which was Cain, Satan's own son, for in him laid evil. It did not come through Abel. Satan's son was Cain. Now that's a very important thing. Because now I want you to try to understand something here. I want to say something, amen, and I know that I have I can find the quote. I couldn't find it today, but I know I heard the prophet say this. The real problem in the Garden of Eden was adultery. See, Eve was introduced to this act first, and then she introduced Adam. Now, Adam sinned willfully. I'll read that for you out of the Bible. All right, Adam sinned willfully, but Eve was actually deceived into this. All right, she actually thought she was doing right, okay? But when she come to realize that, you know, man, I've been something's been introduced to me, and now I'm going to take this, I'm going to introduce this to Adam. I'm going to show him how we, that this is pleasant, that this is good. She introduced Adam to this, but the serpent, anointed by Satan, caused this thing to take place. Now, like I proved to you all the last time, Satan will enter an animal. Satan will get inside an animal. If you don't believe me, go back and read the story of the maniac of Gadara. When Jesus cast those demons out of that one man, those demons went and landed inside some pigs and caused them pigs to commit suicide. Right? Satan will anoint animals. Amen. Satan will anoint people. Satan will anoint anything, amen, that will open itself up. And some things don't even have no choice. These animals didn't even have a choice. Satan got in anyway to cause his plan to come to pass. Right? So, you know, we see that if Satan did that with the maniac Gadara, those legions of demons, yes, it was Satan inside of the serpent that caused this trouble in the beginning. All right. Glory to God. Now, let's just kind of look at this, because they were told not to eat from some trees, right? And this was the problem. So I want to just really identify something here. Take me to this quote, Ephesians Church Age. Now, amen. Take me to Ephesians Church Age. You all keep your Bibles open, and I want to just, let's just read a little bit out of the Bible here in Genesis 3, so that we're clear. Amen. We'll start at verse 1. Says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, and of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He's misinterpreting the word there on her. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, after they ate these fruit, verse 7 tells us, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, it's impossible for anybody to eat a natural fruit and come to a conclusion that I'm naked, right? I mean, we ought to be honest and real with ourselves. There's no fruit in the world that causes people to see that they're naked after they eat the fruit, right? It was only one thing that could have happened in the Garden of Eden that caused them to lose their innocence. Right, there's only one thing that wait a minute. Oh my! Now before they walked around naked and didn't even know. Now this is a good point that I want to bring out. They walked around the garden naked and not even knew that they were naked. Right? If you go back and read chapter 2, they were naked and not even ashamed of it. The Bible says so. They had a holy veil over their eyes that once that veil was broken, they lost their innocence. Not only did they lose their innocence, they lost a lot of other things. They lost access to the garden. Right? Amen. They lost the authority and the dominion and the power and the control that they had in the garden. Now they're running for their life, but they had control over it. They had dominion over these things. Jesus came to restore that dominion back to man. Right? So, you know, here it is. Now let's look at this out of Ephesians church age. Amen. When we talk about this tree of life, they had a tree of life and a tree of knowledge and good and evil that they were told to not eat from that tree of knowledge, good and evil, but eat from the tree of life. Now, here in Ephesian church age, I want you to look at this. This is very important when we talk about these trees in the garden. The tree of life isn't that a beautiful figure of speech. Now, that's a key statement right there. When you're talking about these trees in the garden, we're talking about a figure of speech, not a literal tree. But a figure of speech. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. See, and if we can get it as a figure of speech, then you know, then we got something. Like when John said, lay the axe at the root of the tree. That's a figure of speech. John wasn't talking about walking around and taking an axe and just cutting down all the trees. No, you don't, you can't do that. You know, that messes up the environment when you cut down all the trees like that. So John was not talking physically, going and laying axes at the root of the tree. What John was saying is get to the root of the problem. Right? I mean, he's using a figure of speech. He's using a different language to try to get a point across. You know, I mean, when he used types like, you know, y'all are like serpents. Right? I mean, he's calling the people. Now, they weren't serpents, but they were acting like serpents. Right? I mean, the way a serpent will sneak up on you and do this and try to hypnotize you with some of the things that he does. Y'all acting like that. That's what John was trying to get the people to see. He's used, because he's a man of the wilderness, so he's using nature as his types. Oh, I hope you're with me. Amen. These things are what we call a figure of speech. Let me keep going in that. Say, the tree of life isn't that a beautiful figure of speech. It is mentioned three times in the book of Genesis and three times in the book of Revelation. In all six places, it is the same tree and symbolizes exactly the same thing. But what is the tree of life? Well, first of all, we would have to know what the tree itself stands for. In Numbers 24:6, as Balaam described Israel, he said they were trees of line, aloes, which the Lord hath planted. Trees throughout the scriptures refer to persons, as in Psalms 1. Thus, the tree of life must be the person of life, and that is Jesus. Amen. See, I mean, Psalms 1 saying he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. Right? You get a tree planted like that, no matter how the winds blow, that tree is not going down. It's tied to a source. The water's right there next to it to give it strength and everything else it needs to keep standing. See, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. See, that's what Psalms 1 tells us. So a lot of times when we see tree in the scripture, it's identifying person. Now I want to read something here. Isaiah 56. The tree of life must be the person of life, and that is Jesus. So the tree of life that they could eat from was Christ. But the tree of knowledge was opposite of Jesus. That was Satan in the garden. I proved that the last time we preached this. Satan was in the Garden of Eden. Ezekiel tells us that Satan was in the Garden of Eden. Amen. So what they did was partake of Satan's knowledge, Satan's good and evil. They partook of that. Now you just kind of think about that. There's some things the devil might get you to do, like, that ain't that bad. But the seed that he is planting, the seed that he is planting in you going to lead to some really, really bad trouble. Now, as we get Isaiah, let me just say this. I meant to say it a little earlier. Adam and Eve, their bodies were designed a certain way, right? Their anatomy was designed differently, okay? And God had already given them a commandment to be fruitful and to multiply. Now, the way that he designed their bodies, Brother Branham said they could have come to that. It could have been time. It could have been years later. We don't know. They could have come to having kids the way kids are being born right now. They could have come to that. That's what Brother Branham said. Said the problem, it was adultery was the issue. The way it was introduced, that was the problem. Oh, my God. See, now he said they could have come to that. Now, there's two ways that the kids could have been born, right? They could have come through natural means the way that they come today. Right? They could have come that way if Adam and Eve would have been the first ones to do it. Now, I'm saying something. Paul said this. Paul said marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. Right? So with Paul having that thought, tie that back to Adam and Eve, God is the first one that performed the marriage. And it was honorable in his sight. So they could have come to that and it would have been no problems. Oh, my God. The problem was the way that they come to it. And adultery happened first. Amen. Adultery was the issue. Amen. Oh, my God, my God, my God. See, now the other way that they could have been born, Brother Branham tell them that they could, just like God reached down and got some dust and said, now, Adam, you step into that. Adam could have did the exact same thing. When Adam wanted a son, God had a son. When God wanted a son, he took dust and blew into it. When Adam wanted a son, Adam could have took dust and blew into it. Amen. I want this one to be named Abel. I want this one to be named Seth. And when Adam was ready to have kids, he could have did that. Oh, my God. Yeah, if he wanted a girl, when God wanted a girl, he took from Adam. Right? We don't know how God would have did it, but what happened was sin got there first because she disbelieved God's word and committed adultery. Oh, God, help us. Now, we need to try to tie that because that's a natural, but it's a spiritual type today. People are still disbelieving God's word, and they're committing spiritual adultery on the word of God. Let's read this. We're talking about these trees. Isaiah 56 and verse 1, I want you to just kind of see something here. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. All of this has just been in scripture. We've just been going over the top of it, but it's right there in the word of God. Isaiah 56, look at this. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice. For my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this. And the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. See, blessed is a man that can keep the word of God. All right? Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. Now, why would the eunuch use that example for himself? A eunuch is a man that's not supposed to be able to have children. But he considers himself a dry tree. out of all the analogies that the scripture could have put there, the eunuch is considered a dry tree, a tree that cannot bear fruit. Ooh, see, I mean, so when we talk about trees, we're talking about a figure of speech. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. The eunuch himself considers himself a dry tree. All right, church. God have these things hidden right there in the scripture. All we got to do is open up our eyes and read it. Amen. It's right there. Let's keep going. But thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. I just wanted to read that. The eunuch, don't let the eunuch say, amen, behold, I am a dry tree. Now, God, just a little statement being made there just kind of goes to show that, again, when we use the tree in the beginning, it's a figure of speech. Just like this eunuch is using it when he types himself as a dry tree, it's a figure of speech. But the tree of life that was in the garden was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the source of life. He is the bread of life. He is the tree of life. Hallelujah. All right, let's read something else here. Another scripture I thought was very appropriate. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 30. Thank you, Lord. All right. Proverbs chapter 30, and I'm going to read verse 20 here out of this. Amen. These are last time I showed you that Adam was not Cain's father. We went to the scripture in 1 John and showed you where it said Cain was of that wicked one. And then I showed you in Luke where Adam was the son of God. So something happened there. Let's just read this scripture and then maybe we can get into that. All right. Proverbs 30, verse 20. Actually, you know, start at verse 18. Start at verse 18. Look at this. It says, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. All right, now, I can't go into all of that, but let me stop on that last one. The way of a man with a maid. All right? What the scripture's saying there, you young sisters, you be careful of this. You get an older man trying to talk to a younger woman, there's a big problem there. All right? You get an older man trying to do that because there's certain things that he know about life that you don't know yet. All right? And that man will mess your life up royally. Right, so I mean, Solomon's kind of giving. These are things that are too wonderful for me to understand. How does this happen? The way of a man with a maid. Now look, verse 20 says this: such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth. Right now, wait a minute. We talk about adultery. All right, she eateth. What? She eateth and wipeth her mouth. What does that got to do with adultery? Right, she eateth and wipeth her mouth and said, I have done no wickedness. So now we can look back at the Garden of Eden and see Eve could get involved with an act and it be associated to her eating fruit from a tree. Yeah, my Lord. Solomon put the same thing in Proverbs. Look at it again. Say, such is the way of an adulterous woman. A woman that is not, that has not stayed true to her wedding vows. Such is the way of an adult. Oh, my God. Do you realize the first tear that ever hit the earth? Do you realize the first sense of guilt that ever hit the earth is what when this broke forth in the Garden of Eden? I mean, can you imagine they never cried? Nobody was had their head hanging down or nothing like that. I mean, it was just peaceful in the Garden of Eden. But then they lost the innocence. And when you lose the innocence, so you can't get it back. You understand? And it's the same way in the spiritual. When a church loses the innocence, they can't get it back. That's why you got to stay with what the Word of God says. Don't let anybody take your innocence. See? Hallelujah, church. See? I mean, here Solomon is warning us when such is the way of an adulterous woman. A woman that went out on a marriage vows. That's what an adulteress was. She cheated. If I could just put it in those terms. Because nowadays, in the way that we live nowadays, if a person cheats on me, then that's it. The relationship is over with. See, you got to understand something now. Not that it give a person a right to go and cheat, but let me just deal with it a little bit. But it don't give a person a right to go and cheat, but true love can go beyond somebody cheating. That's right. How do I know that? Because God's love went beyond Eve cheating. And if God's love can bring Eve back, if God's love can bring Adam back, then your love can bring your loved one back. When we have this thing in society today, when they cheat, that's it. And even we got the wrong interpretation of that. That Jesus talked about when a man has the right to put away his wife, you know, if she cheats. And that's exactly what the scriptures say. Problem is that we got another interpretation that's been added to the Word of God. Right? And what we got that interpretation that a woman say, well, the only reason you can get divorced is if my husband cheat. It does not give the woman the right to put away her husband. The woman never has the right to put away her husband. That's the Bible. That's exactly right. That's because the woman is the type of the church. And Christ can put us away at any time, but we can never put him away. I like this. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth. Why would they associate these things together? She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Here, what Solomon's putting is something that we can just tie right back to the Garden of Eden with what happened by them partaking of this tree of knowledge, good and evil. That's a figure of speech. That means she partook of Satan's lies. Satan was in the garden. Jesus was in the garden. And see, after the reason that God had to put them out of the garden, because after they did this, it was very easy for them just to go right back to the tree of life and start eating again. But they never repented. And you can't have eternal life without repenting. That's another one right there. Look, that's why ain't no such thing as an eternal hell. Because there's only one form of eternal life, and that's the life that we get from the Lord Jesus Christ. So people will not live in hell eternally. They might live forever. They might live for a long time. But at some time, they are going to stop living. Because there's only one form of eternal life. And that's what we receive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll never get that until you come to a place of repentance. God knows, man. God knew, man. I mean, man would sin and then just go right back and try to start eating from that tree again. Try to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You know how many people in church today sinning and still going to church acting like they got a relationship with the Lord but never repented? Huh? People doing that every week. Oh, God. Serving in the church and ain't repented. Huh? That should not be. You got to have a relationship. You have to acknowledge that I was wrong. I'm a sinner and I need your grace. Other thing about man is that man, even when man got in trouble, he didn't go looking for God. God had to come looking for him. Adam, Adam, where art thou? Not Eve, Eve, but Adam, Adam, where art thou? All right, I think I got another scripture here that I just want to read. Oh, my goodness. Now, I'm going to say something here. Just going to clinch a little bit, but it need to be said. Amen. Now, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll save that. But because of what happened, let's read this scripture I told you Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived or beguiled. All right, and even said she said that when God came down, what happened here? She's like, Adam said, the woman that you gave me, she, you know, it's her fault. The woman, that woman, Lord, you should have never made that woman. He was when he was in God's presence, he was feeling a little scared,
yeah,
right? He, and they running, and that's what happens when somebody gets in sin. They don't come to church; they run from church.
Yeah,
they run from church. You can tell. You can tell when something's going wrong. They, y'all, you can. I don't feel good today. You went to work yesterday? Yeah. You was feeling the same way yesterday? Yeah. But what about coming to church? See? So that's what people do, right? Sin keep people away, right? But you know, I'm appreciative of that because I don't want the church to be full of sin, right? I don't want you to ever feel like you can be comfortable in sin and just come into the presence of the Lord. I want you to take care of your sin, right? And then come into the presence of the Lord. So you know, but here you know we because of what happened there in the garden, God set some, you know. This my next sermon in this sequence is going to be consequences. Consequences. Lord, and I'm trying to save that. I'm trying to save that. Don't let me lead. I don't want to read that scripture that I'm just getting ready to read because it's consequences because of what happened there in the garden. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Y'all, I'm going to switch gears. I'm not going to go into that right now. I'm going to save that. Let me see. What's the other scripture that I want to read to you all? Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. I mean, verse 1. We'll start at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, amen. Look at this. We have to be able to kind of bring what happened naturally in the garden over to the spiritual realm. Now, they were walking around naked and not even realizing that they were naked. That was common. They had a holy veil over their eyes where they did not see things in that light. They didn't see it. Now, let's look at this. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says this, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Right? Verse 3 says this, "But I fear," Paul says this, "but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve," or tricked Eve, right, "through his subtlety," right, being very subtle with her, "through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, here Paul trying to establish the church. Look, I want to present y'all as a chaste virgin, the church itself. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Branham brings out all kind of types. You know, here, the church itself, God wanted to present, keep her holy, keep her pure as he presented her to Christ. Right? But what has happened is that we got all kind of false doctrines that have entered into the church. That's why people believe it in apples and apricots and all kind of other stuff. And my God, if we would just be honest with ourselves, so many other things have come into the church from some of these false doctrines. I was just having a conversation with somebody this week. I said, you know, I don't believe that that there's three gods. I believe it's one God and three offices. Right? I don't believe that there's three gods. You know, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy. No. When we get to heaven, we're not going to see three different people. The Bible said the Lord our God is one God. It's one Lord, it's one faith, one baptism, right? But we got different churches believing baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and baptized in the name of Jesus. Somebody is wrong. Right? And we got people taking it just the way Jesus said it. Jesus said, "Baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Well, why would Peter miss it then? If Jesus said it, why did Peter miss it? And why did the entire church in the book of Acts get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, the problem is that we missed this. Just as Paul was trying to keep the church, amen, chase. We've allowed people to come in with various interpretations, and they've confused the church. The same way Eve took knowledge from Satan and partook of that fruit, the church has done the same thing today. And that's why we got the different denominations. God wants us to stay pure, stay true with the word. This is what I revealed, just stay with that. But we got different denominations because one person come around with some revelation that is not correct, and we take off with that. And we have the same problem that Eve had. Guess what? We've committed adultery on the word of God all over again. Thank God for restoration in this hour. Thank God for truth that's been restored to us in this hour. Brother Jack, you say the church is all messed up. Yep, all messed up. I want you to see this in Revelation 3. Look at this. Look at this. More messed up today than it's ever been. Church is in the worst condition today than it's ever been. And I'm saying that before I read the scripture. The church is in the worst condition today than it's ever been. Revelation 3, verse 14. Look at this. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, God, I got some things I want to read to y'all. If y'all would just bear with me. Oh, my God, my God, my God. I'm going to read two quotes after this, and y'all just bear with me, and I'm going to let y'all go after that. It says this, I know thy works, verse 15, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Pretty much you're going to be rejected by me. Okay, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Uh-oh. Guess what? Adam and Eve were naked in the beginning and didn't know it. They had a holy veil over their eyes. The church is naked today and don't know it. They don't have a holy veil over their eyes. They have a lust veil over their eyes. They're lusting for more of the things of the world and don't realize that's causing them to be naked. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Look at it now. So what we saw in the beginning, we're seeing the same thing here in the end. Because this is speaking of the church today. The Laodicean church, that's the age that we are living in. And when you talk about rich, yes, they are filthy rich. And you talk about have need of nothing. That's exactly what the Bible said. That's exactly what's going on in the churches today. Amen. I was talking with some people this week, and they were telling me how they spend, I think, $8,000 a month on just the communication between one church to the next church. $8,000 a month. That's one from one church to the next church just to push data across the lines. $8,000. Multiply that by 12. That's just one area of the church. And they say, look, if we was to have to cut money, this would be the first area we'd cut. We'd just cut that out right, real quick. But they don't have to cut money. $8,000 for that. And here we are, just trying to pay rent. I'm talking about the way that they just push data across the wire. Oh, God, help us. The church is in this condition. Exactly what the Bible say, but they're naked in that condition, and they don't realize it. Ooh, hallelujah. Look at it. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Brother, how can you say with all the people coming to the Lord in our church? Jesus said, the church is blind, miserable, poor, naked. Now, I need you to understand something else that Jesus told us. There's going to be many that's going to come to him in the end time and say, Lord, did not I do this in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never even knew you. What is that? Because they rejected his word, he's going to reject them. We got to stay with this truth. Amen. We got to stay with the revealed word for our day. We got to stay with it, church. Amen. See, let me keep going. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Now, you should be ashamed to be naked now. See? And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be quick to repent. Behold, and see, this is why I say this is the worst age that the church has ever come to. It looked like it's the best. It looked like it's flourishing. But Jesus said, in this particular age, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, I went to individual, right? See, I mean, he's standing at the door knocking. That's because the church has put Jesus on the outside. You think Jesus is in the midst of all this foolishness that's going on inside the church? What was the, I just heard somebody, you know, you got everything that people want to do for Jesus. We on skate for Jesus. We are going to skateboard for Jesus. We're going to rap for Jesus. We're going to dance for Jesus. We are, what is some of the other stuff that surf for Jesus, right? Everything is for Jesus. And then they feel like if we just put Jesus in it, then Jesus is gonna be accepted, right? We're gonna do all, we shop for Jesus, right? Travel for Jesus. Just put any action verb. Just put for Jesus on the end of it, right? And he's gonna be all in it. I'm gonna walk for Jesus. I'm gonna run for Jesus. You know, nonsense. Jesus ain't never needed all of that, right? He just need people to stay with his word. That's all he need. Right, that's all he's asking for, right? Amen. I mean, but you hear all this stuff nowadays, and people just doing all kind of things in the name of Jesus. The church ain't never done some of these things, but it's happening everywhere you go, right? Every church to try to get people in, do it for Jesus, right? Give out book bags for Jesus, right? Huh? Free shoes for Jesus, free food for Jesus. You know, it's nonsense. I'm not telling you not to give out free food. You know, I'll be in line to get some. But don't throw Jesus in everything. Because he is not in everything. Look at this. It says, behold, I stand at the door. That means the entire age has put Jesus on the outside. And he's standing on the out. This is the only age where Jesus is standing on the outside knocking, trying to get in. Now, most people use that as an invitation. They try to get people to feel sorry that Jesus is on the outside knocking, trying to get into your heart. This is talking about where Jesus got put out, right? Maybe a backslider might have put him out, but some people don't even know Jesus. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We never even got a chance to know Jesus, so he never was in our heart, right? But yes, he does stand at the door knocking with his word, trying to get into people's heart. But this is talking more about the church as a whole, not what individuals done. The church as a whole has put Jesus out. And now he's talking to the individuals that are in the church. Look, this whole church age, they're not going to be able to hear me. But it's individuals within the church age that are going to be able to hear me. And I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If any man hear me. If any man, see, just, and not, look, I love this. I just love the word of God. Y'all bear with me. If any man hear me, this is individuals that's going to be able to hear this. The whole church may not hear it. All y'all sitting here listening to the message of the hour, it's because God dealt with you individually. God dealt with you individually. And now collectively we make the body of Christ. But God had to deal with you individually, and you had to respond individually. Just like when Jesus said, Peter, who do men say I am? Some say you're liars. Some say you're this. Some say you're that. But who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter had to give an individual answer. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know what? Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, Peter. But my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. My Father dealt with you individually. You didn't even know he was dealing with you, Peter. He was talking to you through your daddy. When your daddy was telling you that a Messiah was coming, your daddy was preparing you the right way. And now you see Messiah's here, and you're not rejecting him like the church leaders are today. But you're accepting him. Peter individually took the responsibility. Say, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Say, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven did, and upon this rock. And now some people say, well, right there, Jesus built the church in that spot, and that's where the church is built. See, again, figure of speech. We got to get that figure of speech thing. If we don't get that, we're going to miss a lot. We're going to misinterpret a lot of the scripture. It wasn't upon that physical place that he built this church. I ain't never been to that physical place, but I'm still a part of that church. Amen. See? He says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. What is that? It says, upon this revelation. Upon this revelation I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Oh, God, it's good to be standing on something. It's good to be standing on something. Some say he built the church on Peter. Wishy-washy Peter. Peter be with you in a minute and curse in a few seconds. I mean, Peter be, no, don't say I do not know him. I told y'all I didn't know him. Wait a minute now, Peter. Don't get all hostile and everything. What's the matter, Peter? God would not build his church on some wishy-washy man, but he will build his church on revelation. Amen. God. Amen. Let's keep going. So this, the individual says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, that's very important, because when he put churches, that means there's two groups that he's talking to, one true, one false. All right. Now, let me just read a couple things here, and then we'll leave for today. God's power to transform. Look at this. God's power to transform. The prophet says something here. It says, notice here again now how perfect these churches type, or these Edens. God, through a seed of his word, and there's only one thing that can quicken the word, and that is the Spirit, for it is the life giver to the word. And when the life in the word meets the life of the Spirit, it produces whatever the seed is. Now, notice what's happened. In the Garden of Eden was God's economy of innocence. And that was one of the dispensations. The first dispensation was innocent. The people know no sin. They didn't know anything about sin. Both Adam and Eve were naked, but they were hid from their nakedness by a spirit veil over their face. They never knew that they were naked at all because they were hid. For God's veil, in their own minds, they didn't know what right and wrong was. And them both standing there naked showed that the knowledge had not yet come to them. See that they were naked, the pair was naked, and knew it not. See, they were in innocence. But it goes on down here to say this. It says, now, if you'll turn, if you wish to, or write it down to Revelation, the third chapter, the Holy Spirit predicted in this last age to the Laodicean Pentecostal church age and last age. It said, thou art naked and blind and know it not. There is God's seed under innocence, not knowing at all that they were naked. Under a veil of the Holy Spirit, veiling them from sin. And now in the last church age, we find here that they're naked again. And this, they don't know it. But it's not the Holy Spirit veil. It's the veil that Satan slipped over Eve back there, a veil of lust, the lust veil. They are so filthy till they don't know that they are naked. Our women on the street with shorts on and sexy dress. Now, that's just not on the streets. That's in the church. That's a lust veil that has come into the church. And that, you talk about why we don't want to have praise dancing. Because the brothers will have problems. Amen. And not only brothers, sisters will too. All right, now. Y'all better be honest, because all kind of stuff coming into the church nowadays. Amen. And nobody preach against sin. It's hate speech nowadays. Right, it's hate speech when you preach against sin, and you'll go viral in a minute preaching against sin. But actually, I'm gonna tell you something. It might be good to go viral, because everybody have to be judged by what they heard. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. All right, I want to just read If y'all just bear with me, just give me this identified with Christ. And is that right? Let me see something here. No. Oh, glory to God. Actually, identified with Christ, but give me paragraph 76. I'll start reading there, and then one more, and then that'll be it. they say, what does it mean when a preacher say he closing? Absolutely nothing. Y'all bear with me. Identified with Christ. The prophet says in the Old Testament, when a man wanted to be identified at the house of God, he took the most innocent thing he could find, a lamb, and he knew the lamb was free from sin because it knew no sin. And he went and took the lamb and put his hand upon its head and confessed the sin, and by faith he transferred his sins on the lamb and the innocence of the lamb back on him. And then the lamb died because it was a sinner. And the man lived by an act of faith of obeying what God said. But what did he do? He went right back out of the temple with the same desire he had when he come in. Because when that blood cell is broken, when the life starts in one blood cell, when that blood cell was broken, the life of the lamb would not coincide or come back into the human life because it was animal life. The man went out with the same desire he had, so therefore he committed sins continually all the time again. But there come a time when God made us an example, and he gave us the Lord Jesus. And when a sinner puts his hands upon his precious head and confesses his sin, and his sin is transferred from the sinner to Jesus, and the innocence of Jesus is transferred by the Holy Ghost back into that person. See, we might have lost our innocence, but we can regain it again by identifying ourselves with what Christ did at the cross. Hallelujah! Thank God I can go back into the innocence. Because that was the best time of our life when I was just walking around in innocence. Jesus has come to restore that innocence. Ooh, glory to God. Transferred from the sinner to Jesus, and the innocence of Jesus is transferred by the Holy Ghost back into that person. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's where I want to be identified. The Bible said he, knowing no sin, was made sin for us. The reason he suffered was for our sins. And it's no more than what is right, no more than our duties to look at these things and see that these desires that we have that God put in us to create in us to make us want to be like him. I'm identified with what Christ did for me. All right. One last thought here. Revelation, this is out of the Smyrnian church age. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Smyrnian church age. Look at this. And the prophet is quoting Revelation 2:8. He says, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. The first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now, these are not the words of a man. A mere man, could he speak from the grave, would say, I am the first and the last, which was alive and is dead. The first thing that happens to a man is that he is born, is alive, and the last thing that happens is that he dies. So this is not a man speaking. This is deity. When he says that I'm the first and the last, which was dead and is alive, that's deity speaking. See, man, Adam, took life and turned it into death. But this man, Jesus, took death and turned it into life. Adam took innocence and turned it into guilt. This one took guilt and turned it into righteousness. Anybody love my Jesus? Hallelujah. Adam took a paradise and turned it into a waste howling wilderness. But this one is coming back to earth to turn an earth rocking and reeling with destruction into another Eden. Adam took a life of fellowship and joy with God and turned it into a desert of spiritual darkness. And that brought forth all sin, moral decay, pain, suffering, delusion, and corruption that wars within the souls of men. But this one, from all the tragic death and degradation that filled mankind, brought forth a life of righteousness and beauty, so that as sin once reigned unto death, even so might men now reign in righteousness by one, Christ Jesus, and not as the offense was, though terrible indeed it was, but now much more is his gift unto eternal life. Let's keep reading that. Scroll down. Here he is walking in the midst of those whom he has redeemed, even his church. And what were those who were redeemed? Were not many like Paul, murderers and corruptors? Were not many like the dying thief, robbers and men killers? All trophies of his grace, all brought back from the dead, all made alive in Christ Jesus the Lord. Church, we got, that's why we come to church, because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. I haven't been able to get into it. I'm just kind of painting a picture so that you understand what happened there in the beginning. But eventually we'll be able to just kind of break in and show you why God allowed all that to happen. Why God allowed it to happen. But understand of these things occurred. And this is not something we just kind of making up. I'm trying to walk you through scripture to show you right here. Solomon put something. Over here, John put something. Over here, you know, Isaiah put something. All of these are tying right back to what Ezekiel said something. If we just put the pieces of the puzzle together, then we'll get back to truth. And we don't have to be afraid of it. There was this, I was reading a quote earlier where Brother Branham was saying how even when he was preaching this, when he began to preach this, people were like, oh, no, you said adultery in the garden and showed that Adam was not Cain's father, but John said he was of the wicked one. Well, what are you trying to say there? Well, there was a story come out, as soon as Brother Branham preached this, a story come out in Life magazine where this lady confessed to having twins. And she had one, she was actually a Caucasian lady and married to a husband, and one of her children was born, was a Caucasian child. But she also had a relationship with a black man. And that child was born too. And guess what? When he came out, he didn't look like the Caucasian child. They had it in Life magazine. Now, that whole thing is a word they call super fecundation, they call it. And when that happens, this is a woman being pregnant from two different men at the same time. And they say, now how did that, that's exactly what happened with Eve in the Garden of Eden. And it still happens today. There's an article out there that I just read recently, about 2 years ago. This lady acknowledged that she had twins, but from two different daddies. That's exactly what happened in the Eden. The serpent got with Eve first, got her pregnant through the act of adultery. And then when Adam knew his wife, Eve, she also bare Abel. Cain and Abel were twins. That's why the Bible declares, and I ain't read it yet to you yet, but I'll show you. The Bible says Eve was the mother of all living. But what the Bible does not say is Adam was the father of all living. Thank God for truth. Restored truth. God bless you. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Lord, we're just taking our time and just kind of going through this to make sure that we have a solid foundation that we're standing on. We need to know why we come to church. We need to know why we gather around this word. Satan will use all kinds of things to disrupt us and to interrupt our walk with you. But Lord, it's not too many places that we can go and we can hear just the pure, unadulterated word of God as it was given in the scripture. Your whole purpose for even sending a prophet is so that the word, the truth of the word, would be restored to the people. You were so concerned about us that you wanted us to have truth, God. And we're grateful. Thank you for giving us ears to hear.
Thank you for giving us eyes to see. Thank you, God, that, amen, you didn't leave us where we were, but you reached down to us. And you, when we were in a world of sin, you pulled us out. When we were lost in our denominational churches, you pulled us out, God. You brought truth to us. Father, we're so grateful. And God, our heart now is that if you could do it for us, you can also do it for others. That woman that's selling her body on the streets because she doesn't know any other way to go, God, you can reach her. Lord, that man that might even be selling his body on the streets, God, you can reach him. Lord, those our loved ones that are still in denominational churches, if you can show it to us, you can show it to them as well. God, the church as a whole has Jesus on the outside knocking, trying to get in, but there are people on the inside of the church that will hear your voice, that will open up the door of their hearts and allow you to come in. We pray, God, that we would always have a heart, amen, for the loss, and that we would do all we can to get truth to them. Because the Bible declares, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this time of going through your word. Thank you for the service on today that you've given us. We glorify you. We praise you. We exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That's why I'm guilt-free today. I'm justified and I can stand blameless. It was your sacrifice of love on the precious cross. What a finished work. My spirit's been set free. Oh, and I have no charges. Come on, that's why I'm guilt-free today. I'm justified and I can stand blameless. It was your sacrifice of love, oh, on the precious cross. What a finished work. My spirit's been set free. Oh, and I have no charges. Come on, sing it again. That's why I'm guilt-free today. Hallelujah. I'm justified and I can stand blameless. Oh, it was a sacrifice of love. Oh, on that precious cross. What a finished work. My spirit's been set free. Oh, and I have no charges. What a finished work. Oh, what a finished work. My spirit's been set free. And I have no charges. What a finished work, say. Oh, what a finished work. My spirit's been set free. Oh, and I have no charges. Come on, give him praise. Jesus dropped every charge. Hallelujah! Taking our guilt and made it righteousness. Father, we thank you. We bless you and honor you. Lord, just to be able to, Lord, to hear your word. We ask that as we leave this place today, that you would go before us, that you would keep us, that you would watch over us, that your word would continue to be revealed to us. And God, may we do everything we can to put logs on this fire. Father, we trust that you, amen, would just continue to get all the glory and all the honor out of everything that happens here. And as we prepare this afternoon to go to Pinnacle Palms, the doors are still open for us to come in. God, we ask that you would just help us to be faithful in our service there, and that we would see lives changed and transformed by the power and by the word of Almighty God. Pray that you'd encourage and strengthen every heart. Lord, we declare that, amen, nothing is too hard for you. Nothing's impossible. So no matter what we are facing, you're able to change it. You're able to break every chain because we just committed it to your hands. Thank you, God, for the great work that you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God richly bless you. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Amen. You can be seated. We had an opportunity to hear from Brother Caps while he was here, just kind of sharing some of his testimonies of his experiences with living, amen, and in the time of the prophet's days. And I was talking to him this week, and we're trying to make some arrangements that maybe he can get back down and preach a service to sow for us, as well as, amen, share some more of his testimony. We gave him a very limited time spot there on Sunday night, but I believe it was a blessing just to hear, amen, him share, and we want to try to get him to come back. So just keep that in prayer. Don't forget, this Friday night we have a guest minister coming from the Yukon, and we just invite everyone to try to press their way out to the service of the Lord. We'll be back on Wednesday night, back in our regular schedule this week. We'll be back at Wednesday night for service, and then Friday night here we'll have a minister coming from the Yukon. And then next Sunday, some brothers from South Carolina be here joining us, bringing a friend of theirs, amen, that's suffering from bone cancer. And I want you to just keep him in prayer. I believe his name is Trendell, and we want you to keep him in prayer. We believe in God, that God will touch him, amen, as he comes into the service of the Lord on next week. God is able. Brother Felix, Brother Robles, and myself, we went to pray for a lady just recently who had been suffering from cancer there, and as we just went in and just began to talk with her about the Word of God, and we prayed with her, they got a report back to Brother Felix that, you know, her stomach is starting to go down. Amen. And mother was standing up and fixing food for the family and everything else. So we just believe God, amen, that if we come in contact with these situations, God allowed that for a reason. And the best thing that we have in our possession is a word of prayer. Amen. That's the best thing. God can turn the thing around through prayer. So let's just be in prayer and amen. And I'm just sharing that. I don't want you all to look at any different. But people come into this church with needs, and we want God to meet them while they're here. So, amen. God richly bless you. The brothers will come at this time, amen, to dismiss you. God bless you. Thank you.
you.